Bounce and bounce. Another one bites the dust. Yes, welcome into another episode of First Pitch, your daily source of baseball talk and bad queen impressions. I'm your host, Troy Brock. You can find me on Twitter at Troy B Baseball. He's Drew Crabtree. You can find him on the Twitter machine at Drew Crabtree 12. And yes, we're going to get to the Los Angeles Dodgers losing yet another pitcher to the injured list. It's almost like somebody tried to warn them in the offseason. And we're going to get to today's games. We're going to get to yesterday's games. But first, if you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button. Turn on the notification icon so you can be notified when more episodes just like this go live. If you're listening on audio, leave us a five-star rating. Share the show with your friends. Send them to firstpitchpodcast.com so they can get their daily source of baseball talk and bad queen impressions. How you doing this morning, Drew?
You got to warn me before you do stuff like that. You warned me a little bit before you did the boom thing. You got to warn me. I'm doing all right. The Reds, five in a row. You know, beating the dirty red birds. I'm feeling good. We got storms rolling through this morning up here in beautiful tropical Toledo, Ohio. So we'll see how that works.
Yeah. It's the Reds did do the thing. Nick Martinez did the damn thing. And we're going to talk about some other teams who did the damn thing yesterday. And one of those teams was the New York Mets. Mets beat the Nationals 19-5 in their contest yesterday. They are now 20-9. Nationals are 13-16. Do want to bring up right quick that I saw a post from Brooksgate this morning that of all the teams in Major League Baseball, the New York Mets have played the most teams who are currently below 500 at 20. They have played 20 games against teams below 500 out of their 29 games. So, don't sleep on the Nationals. Twins at the Guardians. Twins won that one 11-1. Twins moved to 13-16. Guardians fall to 15-13. Yankees at the Orioles. Orioles win 1-4-3. Orioles move to 11-17. Yankees fall to 17-12. Tomoyuki Sugano gets the dub. He's 3-1 with a 3 ERA. And Will Warren has struggled tremendously this year. He is 1-1 with a 5.63 ERA. And Felix Bautista got the save, his fourth of the year. Cardinals at the Reds, game one of their four-game set this week. Reds take that one 3-1. They are now 16-13, and the Cardinals fall to 12-17. And Drew, do you remember the last time the Reds were three games over 500?
I think I was like 3 years old. Nah, I'm joking. No, they look decent. I mean, this is what I was saying, that you got to beat the teams that are worse than you. You can't give up games to bad teams, and the Cardinals are not trying to win baseball games. So this stretch of games is important for the Reds if they're going to stack up wins. Shout out to Ellie De La Cruz and Gavin Lux. 12-game hit streaks right now. Ellie's gotten on base, I think, 16 games in a row now. Noelvi Marte looks like his pre-suspension self. Is he back on the juice? I don't want to say anything. I hope not, man. But he looks good at the plate and in the field right now. Vibes are high in Cincinnati, and I love it.
Yeah. And even Nick Martinez got his first win of the year, and he now has a sub-5 ERA. So the starting rotation is starting to come into form, it seems, as a whole. Excuse me. And Pagan got his eighth save of the year. Athletics at the Rangers. Athletics win that one 2-1. They move to 15-14. Rangers fall to 15-14. JP Sears got the win. He's 4-2 with a 2.94 ERA. And Patrick Corbin got the loss, his first of the year. He's only 2-1, 3.79 ERA. And of course, Miller got the save, his ninth of the year. Astros hosted the Tigers, and they won 8-5. Astros move to 15-13. Tigers fall to 18-11. Bailey O'Kirt got the win. He's 1-0 with a 0.64 ERA. Jack Flaherty got the loss. He's 1-3 with a 3.34 ERA. And Hader got his eighth save of the year. Atlanta Braves took down the Colorado Rockies. They won by a score of 6-3. They are now 13-15, and the Rockies fall to 4-24. Bryce Elder got the win, and Feltner got the loss, and Iglesias got the save. And the only game of the day that went into extras, the team we're going to talk about today, the Dodgers had trouble, but they beat the Marlins 7-6. Dodgers moved to 19-10. Marlins fall to 12-16. Kirby Yates did pick up the win. He's 3-1 with a 2.63 ERA. Any other thoughts on today's games or yesterday's games, Drusev?
Good for the Orioles to finally get back in the win column. I'm really hoping I wasn't super wrong about them. I like the Orioles. I like how they do things, especially competing over there in the AL East, where you've got, you know, Boston, New York, and Toronto all really going for it. And then obviously you've got the Rays, who are just always in contention now because of how they do things. Hopefully this one, you know, gets them going. But they've had a rough go of it to this point.
Yeah, it has not been smooth sailing to this point in the season up there in Baltimore, but picking up the win against the Yankees, the team who is, I believe, leading the American League East right now, is certainly a good thing. And it looks like Tomoyuki Sugano is their staff ace, as things have played out to this point in the season. And he's had a somewhat pretty decent rookie year, first year in Major League Baseball to this point. But I almost exited out of StreamYard again. A team who has not had a good year to this point on the pitching side, and more due to injuries than performance from some of their pitchers, is the Los Angeles Dodgers. And, you know, this is something that I kind of warned people about and tried to talk about in the offseason, is everybody looked at this starting rotation and was like, oh my God, this is the best starting rotation in Major League Baseball. Just look at all the big names. And then you look at the stats from all the big names and you see that only one of those big names has qualified for the ERA title. And yes, he did it twice, Blake Snell. Yes, he did it twice, and both times he did win the Cy Young. But at the same time, he has dealt with major injuries throughout his career, as has the rest of the big names in their rotation. Tyler Glasnow, Shohei Ohtani, Clayton Kershaw. I'm not putting Yoshinobu Yamamoto or Roki Sasaki on that level just yet. They're not big names in Major League Baseball, though they can be in the future. And Yoshinobu Yamamoto has certainly performed to a big name pitcher level to this point in the season. But also, this is his second season in Major League Baseball, and last year he did not qualify for the ERA title because of injuries, and he will not qualify for the ERA title again this year because of the limited workload that he had last year. They're not going to put that many more innings on him. Roki Sasaki will not qualify for the ERA title this year, even if he does stay healthy for the whole year. And so it comes down to, I don't care how many big names are in their rotation, if they're not on the field, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how many names you have if those names aren't on the field. But they did lose another one. Another one bit the dust in Tyler Glasnow over the weekend. He left a start early for his second consecutive start that he left early. Last week, it was just cramping. And this week, on Sunday, it is being listed as right shoulder inflammation, and this time he has been placed on the 15-day IL. So there really is currently no timetable for his return. Dave Roberts, the Dodgers manager, is kind of trying to downplay the issue, calling it overall body soreness, and that they don't believe that there's anything structurally wrong with Glasnow's shoulder. But there is inflammation in that shoulder, and it leaves the timeline at an uncertain point right now. And they really have nobody left to fill the void that Glasnow is going to be leaving for 2 weeks. Plus, Snell got shut down, so he's going to be missing even the time any longer. How bad is this for the Dodgers?
I think it might make them rethink their approach when it comes to Sasaki and Yamamoto. Because, like, you know, when we talked about their once a week thing, I said on paper it's great, but if you start getting injuries and everything like that, you're gonna have to figure it out, because you can't burn a bullpen day or two every week just because you have a guy that's only pitching on Fridays, only pitching on Saturdays. If the rotation stays healthy relatively, then the once a week thing isn't an issue. It can be a great idea, especially with these guys, but they might have to rethink it. If you look at their Baseball Savant page, outside of the top three guys, which are in terms of plate appearances, batters faced, and stuff like that. Yoshinobu Yamamoto, Dustin May, Roki Sasaki. The rest of the pitching staff is a bit cold. There's a lot of blue on this page, which is, you know, bottom 10%, give or take, of Major League Baseball. There's a couple of bottom three, bottom 1%. In total, this Dodgers rotation, and even in the relief, in the bullpen, sorry, is struggling. You take the top six starting pitchers right now on Baseball Reference, and the only ones that have a positive WAR, because Tyler Glasnow has a zero, the only ones with a positive WAR are Yoshinobu Yamamoto, 1.1, and Roki Sasaki, 0.2. Dustin May is minus three. Blake Snell, minus three. Landon Knack, minus three. They're struggling. I mean, they're still the Dodgers. The Dodgers will continue to be the Dodgers. Their bats will probably pick them up. But unless Ohtani comes back and is pitching as well as he hits, because I'm not – is he's planned to come back at some point this year because he missed all of last year. I do remember last year they were like, well, he could pitch in the World Series. I'm like, don't force that. If he comes back and he pitches like he hits, then, you know, that's one positive. But when you come back from Tommy John, you're not on fire right away. We're seeing that with the Reds right now. It took Hunter Green a second to get back from his Tommy John. It's taken Wade Miley a second to get back from his Tommy John, and he's old. He exited his rehab start, but that was something completely different. The Dodgers have those two horses. And even then, Roki Sasaki struggled out of the gate. These injuries are piling up, and I think it's going to make them reconsider how they do business. Because while Yoshinobu Yamamoto is a dog and he's really good at throwing baseballs with that, you know, 1.06 ERA, one great starting pitcher does not make a rotation. Ask Cincinnati.
Absolutely. And there's really nobody that they have that is coming in at any time soon. Tony Gonsolin will be back on Wednesday, but other than that, none of their other starting pitchers will be back before late May. Like, no Clayton Kershaw, no Shohei Ohtani, no Blake Snell, no Tyler Glasnow probably. There's no reinforcements on the way. And, you know, you brought up Roki Sasaki, and yes, he has been better over his last few starts, but at the same time, control has still been an issue for him. And again, I've said it multiple times, it might be the different ball because it's not as tacky as the ball in NPB, but he doesn't give up many hits. In 25 and a third innings, he's given up 18 hits, which is solid. It's a very solid number. In those same 25 and a third innings, he's walked 18 batters. So he has a whip of 1.42 and hits per nine of 6.39, which is very good, and a walks per nine of 6.39, which is not good at all. So it's and he's only struck out 20 batters in those 25 and a third innings. So I don't think that if he can't figure out how to control his pitches better, I don't think that the success he's had over his last few starts will be sustainable. And we even kind of saw it in his start against the Pittsburgh Pirates, where, he allowed three earned runs. He only walked two batters, but he allowed three earned runs. He gave up five hits. And, you know, he's also, at the same time, he's made one start so far this year of six innings or more, and it was exactly six innings in his start on April 19th against the Rangers. So there's a lot of things that are just not going in the Dodgers' favor, and they really need, because of how much work their bullpen is going to have to do this year, they really needed their starting rotation to pick up a lot of the slack, and they just have not done that to this point. They have no pitcher in their starting rotation who has an average of six innings or more per start. And out of the two guys with six starts, Yamamoto and Roki Sasaki, Yamamoto He's close to six innings per start, but he's still at 5 point something. Tyler Glasnow is below 4 innings a start in 5 starts. Dustin May, he's a little over 5 innings a start in 5 starts, but still below 6. Roky Sasaki is just over 4 innings a start. And then the other guys that have made starts, 3 innings in 1 start for Bobby Miller, 2 2/3 innings in 1 start for Ben Kasparius, 3 1/3 innings per start for Landon Knack in 2 starts. 2 starts for Blake Snell, 4.5 innings each, and then 1 start of 5 innings for Justin Robleski. And, you know, their bullpen is already getting overworked because of their starting rotation just not being able to do that. And you got to expect, especially the guys who are starting once a week, you have to expect them to pitch deeper into ball games and take a lot of that load off of your bullpen. And their schedule coming up, it's not the hardest. And as you said, their offense is going to carry them a good bit of the way, but they're off on Thursday. But after that, they have a stretch of 10 days where they play a game every day for 10 days. They've got 3 against the Braves, 3 more against the Marlins, and then 4 against the Diamondbacks. So with the rotation, the way it is it realistic to expect that they come out of the series at 5-5 or worse out of that 10 game stretch?
I don't think that that's super unrealistic. The Marlins are, you know, the Marlins right now. They might be able to get 2 of 3 from the fish. The Braves are hot. They won again last night. They're only 2 games under 500 now. And you can't overlook them. I mean, you couldn't overlook them even when they were bad at the beginning of the season. The Braves are going to give the Dodgers everything that they have. And then the Diamondbacks, you know, in interdivision, things get weird. It doesn't matter how good or how bad a baseball team is. There sometimes things just get weird. So if they come out of this at 5-5, it would not be super surprising. I'm going to be looking for them to add to the rotation via trade at some point, because I don't know. I'm not super familiar with Roky Sasaki's workload back home. He's 23 years old. He is a baby. He is very, very young. Is he going to last, even with this once a week thing, is he going to last the entire season? That's going to be my question. Yes, the Dodgers are going to be in contention, and you know, you usually see the young pitchers get shut down when they pitch for bad teams or even teams that are even on the bubble. They're like, you know what, there's still a possibility that we don't make playoffs. There's no point in pressuring you to just continue on like what we've seen with Hunter Green in the past or Nick Lodolo, especially last year with their lingering injuries. The Dodgers are going to need to add to their rotation at some point, whether it be a guy that just can eat innings and he's not going to be super flashy, or someone that they actually have to give up some capital for, because with these injuries and then with, you know, Sasaki, this is his first season in the majors. They're going to need some help. And like you said, that help ain't coming.
Yeah. And, you know, you did bring up a good point. I'm very glad you said that. And I looked it up for Sasaki's workload in NPB. I also had to look this up, but NPB plays 143 games. Their season is 143 games long. Right. Roky Sasaki. So essentially, with that being said, and with NPB pitchers pitching once a week, I would assume that 20 starts is what a pitcher would get in a full season's workload of not missing any time. Roky Sasaki has made 20 starts once in his career. He did that in 2022. Other than that, he started 16 games, or at least pitched in 16 games. I'm assuming these are starts. They don't have them listed as starts, just games. But 16 in 2021 between two different teams, 20 in 2022, 15 in 2023. So he missed some time in 2023, and 18 in 2024. Now, as far as innings go, his career high came in that 20 game season in 2022 of 129 1/3 innings is his career high. 3 years ago, In 2023, 91 innings. In 2024, 111 innings. So there is absolutely not a snowball's chance in hell that he is qualifying for the ERA title this year after pitching only 111 innings in the NPB last year. And so that's another ding towards the Dodgers and their starting rotation, thus putting even more of a workload down the line on their bullpen. And you know, you start adding these things up. Plus, once Shohei Ohtani does return to the rotation, if he does this year, we have seen in his career, while he is still good, while he is still good at doing both, when he is doing both, he is not as good at hitting as he is when he's only focusing on hitting like he was last year. Last year, when he was only focusing on hitting, one of the best hitters the planet has ever seen. Mm-hmm. And it led a lot of people, myself included, to say, hey, forget about pitching. Just go be a hitter because of what he did. And so once he returns, you're not going to have that same Shohei Ohtani in the lineup that you had last year. You're not going to have the same Shohei Ohtani. It's probably going to be about what he's done this year with a roughly 925 OPS. I saw it a minute ago. Don't remember what it is right off now. But a roughly 925 OPS plus, it might even decline. So that's a hit to your offense. And all of these things adding up, you can realistically start seeing that the Dodgers really aren't the best team in baseball this year. And they probably shouldn't even really be considered the favorite to repeat for the World Series. Am I off base in thinking that? After also, I did want to point out, I didn't add this, that 10-game stretch that they have coming up starting Friday, all road games. So it's a 10-game road stretch. I didn't add that whenever I was talking about it a minute ago. But still, am I off base in with all of this thinking that there's not really a good chance for them repeating in the World Series now?
I think that the Dodgers are still the Dodgers in the sense that they are going to find a way and get better in some way, shape, or form. I will say, however, especially with the emergence of the Padres again, and you know, all the NL East guys, and you know, the fact that the Reds are never going to lose a game again. it's definitely. It's a safe bet to say that the Dodgers aren't going to repeat. It was going to be a safe bet regardless, because winning the World Series to me is the hardest thing in professional sports, because the grind plus the grind of the playoffs and then a 7-game series where you have to beat a team that you are familiar with 4 times. I find that to be the hardest thing, even more than the Super Bowl. So they were always going to be behind the eight ball in terms of odds. And now I think that their World Series aspirations are really, really thin. Baseball Reference still has them as a 5.3 percent chance to win the World Series. And I think that might still be a little bit rich, because we have seen good teams be completely hamstrung by overworked bullpens before. And they just completely flounder down the stretch. And while it is a spectacle to watch, because you'll have these red hot teams all of a sudden just implode, I think that might be what the Dodgers are heading for, unless they come by a whole lot of luck, both in adding to their rotation and keeping that bullpen healthy, because if you overwork that bullpen, it is going to get ugly when we get to the home stretch.
Yeah, 100%, because they're going to need to lean on that bullpen, especially in the postseason, because I don't think that Glasnow and Snell are going to be the last pitchers in their rotation to hit the injured list for extended periods of time. And you know, both of those guys have extensive injury histories throughout their careers. Like Tyler Glasnow set a career high in innings pitched last year with 134, and he's been in the league for 10 plus years. So it's I don't know, man. I also agree with you that it was going to be a tough ask for the Dodgers to repeat in the World Series anyway, but you know, it's Major League Baseball's favorite team. However, I will say, Major League Baseball didn't put the Dodgers number one on their power rankings this week. It was another team that's overrated, but we'll talk about that at another time. But it's
like, you just like poking that bear, don't you?
I sure do, pal. But if you stuck with us this far through our Dodgers talk, I'll go ahead and say this for you so you don't have to in the comments.
I'm a hater, man. I don't think you want to ask me that. I am a hater, so I'm going to just leave it at that.
However, let us know what you think in the comments. Are the Dodgers, is this the killing blow for the Dodgers? Is it yet to come? How do you see the rest of their season going? Let us know down in the comments. Mm-hmm. And we'll take a look now at how the rest of the season will go, at least today, for the rest of Major League Baseball and the Dodgers. And the first game of the day comes at 6:10 p.m. Eastern. Twins at the Guardians. Twins look to move to 14-16. Guardians look to move to 16-13. Chris Paddock at Tanner Bibee. 25 minutes later, Yankees at the Orioles. Carlos Rodon against Kyle Gibson. Kyle Gibson making his season debut. Yankees look to move to 18-12. Orioles look to move to 12-17. 5 minutes later, 6:40 p.m. Eastern, Cubs at the Pirates. Cubs look to move to 18-12 behind Shota Imanaga, and the Pirates look to move to 12-18 behind Andrew Haney. That's sneakily a good pitching matchup there. 6:40 p.m. Eastern, Cardinals at the Reds. Cardinals look to move to 13-17. Reds look to continue their winning ways and move to 17-13. Miles Michaelis at Brady Singer. Will the Reds do it again, Drusev?
I sure hope so. Brady Singer has been quite good to this point. For the Reds, making that trade look even more and more genius. As much as we love Jonathan India for all of his intangibles and his bat, honestly, this Brady Singer trade has been great. I think that the Reds they should have a little bit more success, because Michaelis, he's got two pitches that he favors the most, the four seamer and the slider, and they tend to hit the fastball pretty well to this point. Those off speed pitches, for some reason, tend to confound them before they start really catching on. So I think that they have a good shot. You know, they're playing at Great American Small Park and it is starting to heat up. That ball is flying. Jose Trevino found a ball in the seats last night. I hope they keep the train rolling, and you know, this lineup, I'm probably going to write a little bit more on Athlon Sports later, that this lineup is showing exactly what we were expecting out of them, what we were hoping. Because right now, Matt McClain is slumping. He's slumping pretty bad. He's got a great hard hit rate right now on Baseball Savant, but he ain't getting on base. However, everybody else is. TJ Friedl's doing well. Ellie's doing great. Gavin Lux, you know, MVP candidate Austin Hayes, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm definitely looking for them to continue their winning ways tonight. It's always nice. It's always nice to beat the Cardinals. There's just no other way around that.
It is always nice to beat the Cardinals, even from somebody who is not in their division. 5 minutes later, 6:45 p.m. Eastern, the Nationals at the Phillies. Nationals look to move to 14-16. Phillies look to move to 16-13. Mackenzie Gore, facing the Phillies for the second time this season, faced him on opening day, struck out 13 against Zach Wheeler, looking to continue bouncing back from his sluggish start to the year and get back in Cy Young contention. Again, another good pitching matchup. And will probably be the first baseball game I watch since sometime last week. 20 minutes later, 7:05 p.m. Eastern, Royals at the Rays. Royals look to move to 500 at 15-15. Rays look to move above 500 at 15-14. Lorenzen at Taj Bradley. Don't know where I was going with that. 2 minutes later, 7:07 p.m. Eastern, Red Sox at the Blue Jays. Red Sox look to move to 17-14. Blue Jays look to move to 14-15. Garrett Crochet on the mound for the Bo Sox, and TBD on the mound for the Blue Jays. 3 minutes later, 7:10 p.m. Eastern, D-backs at the Mets. Diamondbacks look to move to 16-13. Mets look to move to 21-9. Eduardo Rodriguez on the mound for the Diamondbacks. David Peterson on the mound for the Mets. And Excuse me. I did mean to mention this when we were talking about yesterday's games, but we do got to give my second favorite Mets player his flowers, because Brandon Nimmo did have 9 RBIs in their game yesterday. And he is my second favorite Mets player behind Jeff McNeil. So good on you, Brandon Nimmo. Credit where it's due. 7:40 p.m. Eastern, Brewers at the White Sox. Brewers look to move to 15-15. White Sox look to move to 8-21. Ray Peralta at Bryce Wilson. 25 minutes later, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, Athletics at the Rangers. Athletics look to move to 16-4. Both teams look to move to 16-14. Athletics have Lopez going, a lefty, and the Rangers have DeGrom. 5 minutes later, 8:10 p.m. Eastern, Tigers at the Astros. Tigers look to move to 19-11. Astros look to move to 16-13. Olsen at Gusto. 30 minutes later, 8:40 p.m. Eastern, Braves at the Rockies. Braves look to continue their winning ways and move to 14-15, while the Rockies look to continue their losing ways and move to 4-25. Atlanta throwing TBD. Colorado throwing Erman Marquez and his 9.30 ERA. An hour later, 9:40 p.m. Eastern, Angels at the Mariners. Angels look to move to 13-15. Mariners look to move to 17-12. And our boy Kokanowicz, our Kohanowicz, our Kokadoo is pitching for the Angels against Bryce Miller for the Mariners. Also at 9:40 p.m. Eastern, Giants at the Padres. Gigantes look to move to 20-10. Padres look to move to 18-11. Logan Webb at Nick Pivetta, another strong pitching matchup on today's docket. There's a lot of good pitching today. And finally, 30 minutes later, Marlins at the Dodgers. Sandy Alcantara for the Fish. Dodgers throwing TBD. So, you know, already starting to affect them there. Any final thoughts on today's slate of ball games? Jerusalem.
I got two thoughts. Yesterday, we talked about whether or not we were wrong about the Tigers. If you haven't watched it, go back and watch it. I think it was a pretty good episode talking about one of the lesser talked about teams in Major League Baseball. No one seems to give the Tigers their flowers. They lost last night. Whatever. I sent it to a buddy of mine, and he said, a few notes. All that ERA stuff is including Kenta Maeda's 10-plus ERA, dragging the average down. And also, this is all without Parker Meadows, Matt Vierling, and Wenzel Perez. So I think the Tigers probably have some good days ahead if they can continue on with this. But I think the obvious series of the week is that Giants-Padres matchup. This pitching matchup is two guys that could be fighting for the Cy Young at the end of the year between Logan Webb and Nick Pivetta. These are two very good baseball teams and two teams that will – take advantage of the Dodgers' rotation tiring out and their bullpen tiring out. They love to see it. You know, it's going to be that meme of, you know, me at my wedding versus me at the downfall of the Los Angeles Dodgers. And they're going to be there. They're going to be there. They're going to be loving it. But this series out there in San Diego is going to be really fun to watch because it's going to – I mean, it's obviously still just April / the beginning of May, but it's going to start to set in motion who's going to be king of that division with the Dodgers really figuring themselves out right now.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, with what Nick Pivetta has done this season, if he can continue that down the stretch, might have to add the San Diego Padres to that list of top tier pitching factories, because it is just insane what he's been doing so far this season. I don't feel like I'm alone in saying that I did not.
Cough, cough, cough.
Expect that. Sorry. I remembered to take Allegra this morning and I thought I was good. And here we are 34 minutes in. I'm not. But we're good here at First Pitch. Thank you for joining us today. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button. Turn on the notification icon so you can be notified when another episode just like this goes live. If you're listening on audio, give us a 5-star rating. Share the show with your friends. Let them know. Send them to firstpitchpodcast.com where they can get their daily source of baseball talk and Troy choking his brains out. Until the next time, this has been First Pitch.